for his tender mercies. And I would like to thank all the saints who prayed for me and kept me going, because a year ago I would not have been able to stand up here and deliver a message. I physically was not capable. But God is good. And I would like to thank all of those who prayed for me, who called, who expressed any kind of appreciation of what I was going through. I'm not going to call any names. You know who you are. But trust me when I tell you that it was appreciated, and I can't thank you enough. But let's get started. Also want to thank the brethren for being very patient with me. You know, we kind of have an informal speaking schedule, and the elders and the deacons and the speakers that we have. And I was not able to contribute for a year, so they had to pick up my slack, so I appreciate that, and hopefully I'll be back to kind of make up for that. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are God Almighty. We thank you that there is nobody else like you. We thank you that your love extends beyond the imaginations of man. And we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you as we move forward from your word. We pray that you would magnify yourself. Diminish the speaker. Let it not be my words. Let it be your words, that your people will be fed and nourished from the bread of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Two scriptures for you. We're going to read them both. The first one is found in Matthew 28. Both of them are very, very familiar. Some of you could probably speak from memory. But Matthew 28, starting with verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please make note of that. We will refer to that later, that we are baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Please make note of that word lo, L-O. In Latin, that's ADO. And what it really means is behold, or take notice. So Jesus is saying, take notice, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Psalms 23. I know it's unfamiliar to many of you, but so we'll read it. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now I have almost two messages this morning, but they kind of dovetail into each other. And the two things that I really want to talk about, the two themes, the name of the title that I give my message today is Thy Spirit is with me. And what I want to do is take a look at the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to try and sharpen our view a little bit, or maybe I'm sharpening my view, because this is something that I've been working on, and recognize a little sharper who and what the Holy Spirit is and what he does. And then we want to take that knowledge or that image that we have of the Holy Spirit and try and apply it to the 23rd Psalm. So first of all, let's get started with some facts. Now, many of us went through the lessons of our brother John Frazier, and one of the things that he made sure to clarify very clearly is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, and I don't think any believer who has studied the word has any objection to that, but let's take a look at this in terms of some of the things that go about proving that. Let's turn to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, this is our Lord speaking here, verses 15 to 18. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he," and this is one of the things that Brother John stressed, "that he," that being the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." Not a spirit, not a it, not a thing. Him, the person of the Holy Spirit. "Neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And then we go down to John 15. And I'm just emphasizing this. I'm not stressing it. I'm emphasizing the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's very important that we get that. John 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he," not it, "he shall testify of me." Yes, the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Yes, he is equal in power to those, to God. Every power that the God the Father has, the Holy Spirit has. Every power that Jesus Christ as God, in terms of his creative and all of his powers, is also embodied within the Holy Spirit. And everything that the Holy Spirit has is in the Father. And everything that Jesus has is in the Father and the Holy Spirit, because they are one, yet triune. I don't understand that, because I have a finite mind. But the Holy Spirit tells me that it's true. God's word tells me that it's true. He is equal in power. He's equal in knowledge. He's equal in attributes. And yes, he is omnipresent. Just as God is omnipresent, and just as Christ is omnipresent. But as we look at the Holy Spirit, it is very important to grasp and get a good sense that the person of the Holy Spirit, we agree that he's a person, that the person of the Holy Spirit, when we try to understand his never leaving us or forsaking us, it is as a person. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, never leaves you as a Christian or me as a Christian. He is always present. We are told in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit indwells us. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. "Do you not know that you, yet your body is the temple of God, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? Ye are not your own." 2 Corinthians 2, 16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. 1 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto you, kept by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. Romans 8:9, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, I shot through a lot of scriptures, but I'm focusing singularly on the Holy Spirit, and I'm making a point here. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he indwells us. He is with us. The triune God is omnipresent. Yes, God is everywhere. We can't escape because he created everything. Jesus Christ is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. But there is a uniqueness to the Holy Spirit in relationship to the Christian. Because he's everywhere, he's also where the unsaved are. He's in the discos. He's out on the streets. He's in the subway. He's everywhere. But there is a different relationship and understanding when we talk about the Holy Spirit being with the people of God. It is different. We would be much better off to recognize, first of all, that this person, there is a person that is us. That this person, this individual who is with us, acts and communicates with us as a person. In the Bible, we see lots of examples of him acting like a person. In Matthew 4, we're told that the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ into the wilderness. In Acts 8:28, we read that the Spirit said to Philip. He didn't say it to anybody else. There were people all around Philip. He didn't say it to anybody else. He said, this individual spoke to Philip and said to Philip, go and talk to that Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 10:19, the Spirit said to Peter, Peter, there are three guys that are coming to look for you. He didn't say it to anybody else. This is the Holy Spirit, the person, the individual speaking to Peter. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness for us. He bears witness for the people of God, but you need to understand that he also bears witness for you as an individual, for me as an individual. And that makes a difference because the universal church has its issues. Yes. But each of us as children of God, as individuals, have our own personal and unique issues. And the Spirit of God, that person that indwells you, knows each and every one of them. There's a difference between when we say that where two or three are together, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. He was here this morning. I felt him. Praise the Lord. But there is something particularly different about the relationship of the individual of the Holy Spirit with each and every Christian. When in Romans we hear that we don't know what to pray for, but that the Holy Spirit, with groanings that cannot be uttered, takes our prayers to God. He doesn't take, he takes the church's prayer. But there are times when I am by myself, in prayer, in my house, because of whatever issue, and I'm down on my knees or I'm prostrate on the floor, and I am praying to God, and that individual Holy Spirit takes my prayers, or however weak, poor, or indifferent they are, that individual, because I am a child of God, takes my prayer and smacks it around and straightens it up and presents it to God the Father exactly how it should be heard. He's an individual. And he's an individual to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit deals with us as individuals. He speaks to us. I know my wife is always telling me, the Spirit told me to do this. Never argue with her when she tells you that. Okay. He intercedes for people with their prayers. He teaches someone. He teaches everyone, but he has lessons for us, for you, for me. He comforts someone. Sometimes we don't need comforting, but another person may need it. And he goes as an individual to that person, and he comforts him. He reminds us of things. He abides with us. Yes, he communicates with the church and the saints, but in our individual lives, he deals with our situations. He deals with our problems. And how he does that for all of us all the time, I do not know. I have no idea. But I know that he does, because he is a person and he indwells us and he does that. It's almost as if, and this is not, it is, because I know it's not true, it's almost as though each of us have our own Holy Spirit. But that's not true, because there's only one Holy Spirit. But for each of us, he is that individual. And that's something that only God can explain one day when we get to heaven, how he does that. Just like how we can't understand how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit came down and took upon himself the form of a man. God the Father, Jesus did that. Now we're trying to figure out, well, the Bible says that God is Jesus and Jesus is God and the same. And so Jesus came down. But there is something about the Trinity that we won't get until we get to heaven. We can try and compare it. Brother Victor does a good example of talking about water and ice and steam and trying to make that, you know, and trying to give us, let our human minds comprehend the triune. But we won't get that until we get to heaven. But the point that I am making is that we have an individual who indwells with us. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, Paul commends us at the end of the book to the grace of Christ. We are saved by grace. To the love of God, God is love, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That word communion, I can't even say it. It's Latin. Kenohaia. Means partnership. You know how you have your life partner? The Holy Spirit is your partner in life. It means fellowship, an associate. I don't know how he does that. There must be and has been times when the Holy Spirit teaches, comforts, communes just with you. Amen? Is that true? You only, just for you, just for your situations, he does that. He does that with each and every one of us, and it is absolutely amazing. And it's also wonderful, because I know that when I have a situation, when I'm involved in a situation, whatever it is, that person of the Holy Spirit, that indwelling person, is with me. He is with me. He is in me. Okay. I'm making pretty good time here. I'm halfway through. Let's look at Psalms 23. In light of what I've just finished talking about, and I hope that everyone agrees with me, and if there's something that I've said that you don't agree with me, please pull my coattail afterwards and we can have a discussion. But if we go to Psalms 23 and we look at the Psalms and we try and apply this individual who is with us forever and always, the writer of the Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the Holy Spirit. You know, shepherds never leave their sheep. And I always thought it was a little strange. You know that parable that's told about if there's 100 sheep and one goes astray, that the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out to get that one? It never made sense to me until I did this study. Because he's going to get that one sheep, and he left the 99. Suppose the wolf come for those 99. But the parable is talking about the people of God. So he's talking about a child of God who has gone astray. But according to what I am understanding now, even though he went to get that one and bring him back, the 99 still have their Holy Spirit. Amen? The 99, they're good. They're good. I never got that, but you know, the Word of God is amazing. You need to study it. If you can study it, I've been studying the Word of God since I was 21. I'm now 72, so that's 51 years, and I'm still learning things because the Word of God is inexhaustible. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, me as an individual, shall not want. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is there with me. Now, you ever had a good day? You ever have a good day? The things, everything went well. You know, you got up, you didn't have to go to work. The sun was shining. You really didn't have a lot to do. You may have taken a walk in the park or went to the beach. Everything is going well. And when you came back home, you found a nice meal. Everything is just going well. You know, sometimes it's better than a day. Sometimes it's a week. You have a good week. The boss doesn't bother you all week. Or the boss is sick and he's not there to bother you all week. So you have a good week at work. Or you may have a good month. You know, the month of June or May when you graduated from college or from high school. And everything is going well. You got your degree. You got job opportunities. You're just flowing along. Everything is going well. Sometimes it's a year. Things are just going smoothly. He leadeth me beside He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. Those are the great times in our life. But I want you to note that the Holy Spirit is right there with you in those good times. Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times we forget about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, especially in the good times, because we're not in trouble. We kind of feel like we're good on our own. But the Holy Spirit is there with you, because it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and that he leads me beside the still waters. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm that this must be my fifth or sixth message that I pulled out of the 23rd Psalm. And there's more to come. So I'm not going to go into all of the ins and outs of the 23rd Psalm of what it says. I am making a single point here. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you in the good times. He's with you. He restoreth my soul. Now, what does that mean? It simply means to me that your soul needs to be restored. Or at least my soul needs to be restored for whatever reason. It might be an attack of the devil. It might be that I've fallen into sin. It might be that the green pastures and the still waters have been interrupted and I'm now on a rough sea where I need the Lord to come and say, peace be still. It might be. But whatever it is, he restoreth my soul. He is there with you. He leads me in the path of righteousness. He teaches me. He takes us, because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There are all kinds of traps out there in the world for sin, for the saints of God. But the Holy Spirit is with you. And he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The Holy Spirit is there with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, The shadow is called a shadow for a reason. In my mind, I look at it and I say there are two shadows of death. I think as a human being living on this earth, when we lose someone who is dear to us, we go through the shadow of death. It passes over us. We feel it. We recognize that it's there. I also believe that our death, when we talk about the shadow of death as believers, not for those out there, but as us, we don't die. Physically, we may die, but the Bible says that we live forever. So death is really only a shadow. It's something that passes over us that we might glimpse, but in the next moment, we're in glory. So he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because evil can't come where the Spirit of God is. Evil can't come where the Spirit of God is. The Holy Spirit is with you. He says, for thy rod and thy staff. Learning something new. The rod was used by the shepherd as an accounting tool. Did you know that? I don't have the exact scripture, but where when they were counting the sheep had to pass underneath the rod. And he used that rod, and it kind of helped him control the count. The Holy Spirit is accountable for you. He takes care of you. When the Bible says that those that are put into my Father's hands, he will lose none of them. The Holy Spirit has you. Thy staff. The staff, you know what the staff was for? It was for smacking those wolves and bears to keep them away from his sheep. The Holy Spirit is there to take care of you, to comfort you, to teach you, to guide you. And it is wonderful when you recognize that this individual, as we were talking about before, has a relationship with you. So that you really should be having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It should be vice versa. It should be a communion of you and the Holy Spirit, that individual who is indwelling with you. Thou preparest, thou, the Holy Spirit, preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, you know what that tells me? We have enemies. They're out there. They don't like the children of God. They don't like us. They don't like the way we live. They don't like the words we say. They don't like the songs we sing. They don't like the preaching that we do, because many times we remind them of their situation. And they're out to get us in many respects. But even while they're out to get us in many respects, the Holy Spirit prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's taking care of you. He's feeding you. Just like this morning. Please don't think that this is Brother Grant's preaching to you. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you, because the Holy Spirit, I believe, gave me this word. This is not me. If you hear anything good this morning, amen. If you hear anything good this morning, please know it was not Brother Grant, it was the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil. And we know that in many times the Holy Spirit itself is referred to as oil in Scripture. So not only do we have the Holy Spirit indwelling, but it gives us an extra portion. You know that verse that talks about when you give and you give properly, that you get back and it's pressed down and flowing over. When you're living well, the Holy Spirit is, you're dripping with the Holy Spirit. And other people can see it. They can see it. Praise the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God is good. God is good. All these things, that Holy Spirit is going to take care of me all the days of my physical life. That's what this means. All the days that I'm here on this earth, the Holy Spirit is with me, and he's indwelling me, and he's leading me, and he's teaching me, and he's protecting, and he's loving me, and comforting, and he's carrying me on. And at the end of my life, I transition. Amen? At the end of my life, I transition, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, two things I want to say because I'm getting ready to close out. Number one, if you are not saved, you can't partake of what I've been talking about. I'm sorry, I wish you could, but you can't because you're not saved. The Holy Spirit is not going to be indwelling with you until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then he's going to come and he's going to rush in and give you all the benefits of his indwelling. But you have to first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I got to tell you this. If you're in this room and you don't know if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you haven't done it. If you are not sure that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you haven't done it. And since you haven't done it, you don't get to have the Holy Spirit and all its blessings. But I want to tell you, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth," because that's all it takes. All you have to do is say, "God, I believe. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I'm accepting that gift of salvation." That's all it takes, because God has a perfect plan. You don't have to do anything but believe. Jesus Christ has done everything already. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is your Lord. Accept his salvation, and you can get that. So I want to invite you, if you don't know, before you leave today, come and see me. Or come and see any of the brothers that you saw up on this platform or speaking at this microphone this morning. Any one of them can take you and show you from God's holy word how you can become a Christian and a child of God instantaneously. All you have to do is believe. It doesn't take much. Second thing I want to say to you is that I didn't mean, because I don't like to do theme lessons. You know, I know it's the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, and that was not my intent. But it kind of came out that way. When you look back on what you have been through this past year, all the troubles and the ins and outs, and you've gotten to this point, you need to realize as a Christian that the Holy Spirit was with you those times. Every single one of those times. And you need to realize that as you go forward into 2022, regardless of what lies ahead for you, good, bad, and different, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you. And you should take comfort in that. You can take pride in that. And you can move forward boldly as a child of God. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that we know that it is true. And you are faithful of your word. So when you tell us that you are never going to leave us nor forsake us, we take that to heart. And we bless you for it, dear Lord. And we would ask that as we go out this afternoon and as we go out into the next week and the next year, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would reveal your word to us, that you would strengthen us as Christians, that we would live honorable lives that would bring glory and honor to your name and never dishonor. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are in the sound of my voice, whether in the room, on Zoom, or on the telephone, who do not know you as Savior. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, they're in danger. They're in peril. Because if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we don't want that for anyone. So we would pray that as they hear these words, that you would Stir up their spirit. Give them no rest. Give them no sleep tonight until they come to know you as Savior. We ask all of this and we thank you for your loving kindness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you and Happy New Year.